So we are all about authors and writers, and we're going to refer back to the Ohio Writers Guild. That was an organization that I took over several years ago, and it's grown about 1,000 new members each year into the Ohio Writers Guild. And so I'm excited to be here. And Debbie just tapped in, so I'm going to let her come up. Yeah, she's going to be rejoining. So anyway, the Ohio Writers Guild is a Facebook group, but then I also started a meetup group. And so several of you on this call today has probably found us on the meetup. And I have an international academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy. And one of the courses that I have on the academy is the Ohio Writers Guild on writing and becoming an author. So we go through a different topic each month, and then we have a guest that we get to talk to each month. And so this month we're going to talk about we got Chris Underwood again. So I just want to make sure that everybody is allowed to chat here. So I'm doing double duty, so I have to jump over and let some folks in. So I want to just make sure that everybody there gets on board. So 7, 8, 9, 10 of us. Okay, they're all on. I just want to make sure we can at least see your name, even if we don't have you up here on the camera. Oh, we still have more people coming in. So yes, welcome. Welcome. So some of you that can't click your video, that's because I have you over in the audience. And when I get a moment, once I turn it over to Sandy later on, I can go over and bring some of you up if you want to come up. So just hang in there with me. So anyway, the Kathy Benner International Academy has five different lanes, and one of the lanes is the writing lane with the Ohio writers. And so I want to share my screen for just a moment. And so if any of you tap in as an attendee and I don't bring you up just yet, just know that I will once I stop sharing. But I'm going to share my screen so that you can see where I am in this course and how you can tap in to all of these different things. So bear with me just a moment here while I get over to my screen. And this is what my screen actually, or my website actually looks like. This is my homepage. And you can see here across here, I got to move our faces out of the way a little bit. When you click this more button, that is where you can see where we have these free meetups. So you can click on the free meetups, and that is probably how you found us today. Then we have these different topics, and here is the authors and writers. So when I click on the authors and writers section, this goes to the course. And when I click on the course, it tells you all the different topics. So here are the things that we talk about: choosing a publishing route, editing your draft, getting feedback from editors, critique circles, and beta readers, titling your manuscript, formatting your book for publication, designing a book cover that converts your readers, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating a book launch plan, publishing your book to online retailers, and marketing your book to increase sales. Now, I have a couple of published, and we talked about back here choosing a publishing route. So we're not going to get down into the weeds on that today, but we talk everywhere from doing self-published all the way to having an actual publishing company and an agent, and so that you can get published traditionally. And then there's a million and one hybrids in between. And when we talk about publishing, it's everything when you're thinking about being a writer and getting published. It's everything from writing a blog to writing a manuscript to I had a gal contact me the other day about writing an essay. And so it could be any kind of writing. And our goal at the end of this course is to help you monetize your writing. I know if you love to write, wouldn't it be great if you got paid for it too? So that's kind of where I am, is trying to show you that not only can you write, but then you can get paid for your writing. So we talked about, again, we go through each one of these a month. So it's like January, February, March, April, May, June, July. So here in July, we are talking about writing a publisher-ready book description. And then we've got August, September, October, takes us on through the year. And so when you scroll down to the curriculum, you can see all the different topics that are covered. And so I already have it opened up here to writing a publisher-ready book description. And so I am going to jump over to another page, and then I'm going to come back to this one because I don't want to just read the course to you. You can take the course and do all of that. I just want to give you a great overview on writing a publisher-ready book description, and then I want to give you an example, and then we're going to talk to Sandy. So writing a publisher-ready book description, first of all, you have to hook the reader. Start with a compelling sentence or question that grabs attention and entices the reader to continue. And then introduce the main characters, briefly describe the protagonist and the other key characters, highlighting their roles and unique qualities. And then outline the plot. Now, this is the tough one because most of the time folks want to put too much in this where they're outlining the plot. They go back to their writing and they think, oh, I got to write out this whole plot. No, you just want to give the high points, the setting, the key events without giving away any of the spoilers. And then highlight the stakes. Emphasize what is at risk. What is at stake? What is at risk for these characters? Creating a sense of urgency and importance. And finally, you need to conclude it with a teaser. You have to end it with an intriguing hint or a question that leaves the reader wanting to know more about how the story unfolds. And that's what's going to make them want to buy. How many of you look at the cover, then you look at the description, then you put it back on the shelf? Am I right? You look at the cover and you go, oh, that looks good. And then you look at the description and you go, oh, that sounds good. And then maybe you buy it. Or maybe you don't. So that's why that book cover and this publisher ready book description is so, so, so important. So now I want to jump back over and give you an example. And so we talked about all the different points. So see what you think about this one. Here is the book description. 6 days ago, astronaut Mark Watney became one of the first people to walk on Mars. Now he's sure he'll be the first person to die there. After a dust storm nearly kills him and forces his crew to evacuate while thinking him dead, Mark finds himself stranded and completely alone with no way to even signal Earth that he's alive. And even if he could get the word out, his supplies would be gone before a rescue could arrive. Chances are, though, he won't have time to starve to death. The damaged machinery, unforgiving environment, and plain old human error are much more likely to kill him first. But Mark isn't ready to give up. Drawing on his ingenuity, his engineering skills, and a relentless dog refusal to quit, he steadfastly confronts one seemingly insurmountable obstacle after the next. Will his resourcefulness be enough to overcome the impossible odds against him? ? Now, that is the book description for Andy Weir's The Martian. You see how he hit all those points that we talked about over here. He hit all the points of he hooked the reader, he introduced the main character, he outlined the plot, he highlighted what was at stake, and he concluded it with a teaser. So tell me, what are your thoughts about having a great description on your book? Has anyone else struggled with that besides me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, talk to us about that. Who wants to share? And I'm going to make sure that everybody here can at least hear us. Yes, we're all on. Okay. So anyone want to share a little bit about their writing that may have struggled with that? Bradley, you've got some stuff published. How about you? Have you struggled with writing that book description?
Yeah, I did. But I did. I sent it to a friend of mine who has published a few books already, and she gave me some advice. And I also sent it to my book editor as well. And a couple other friends. But in the end, you know, it's out, and I look at it, and it's like, no. Yeah, but again, that was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe a year and a quarter. But it's like, okay. Next time, you know, I have more experience, and I'm already planning a version 2 of the book. A second edition, because I've found more resources and materials and going to do an all color version of it. That's just in the works. So when it comes out, I'm also making a website now, like a learning website.
Okay.
An educational website that's based the first part of it is based on this book, actually.
And then that's another point. So one of the other courses that I have, and we have a free meetup for that, and we have quite a great mastermind, and I know Debbie's in it, and Sally is in it, Elise is in it, so several in this group are already in it, is how to build a better business. And we talk about building your website and how to make it teachable, or however, whatever your end goal is with your website, how to make your sales or how to sell courses or whatever you want to do, we show you how to get there a little bit faster. So if anybody wants to monetize some of your writing, that's another way to monetize it. We recommend that all authors have a website so that they have a place for their books. I will toss out a little tidbit that I've learned. Oftentimes you have this whole author's page, which is what I have on mine, my website right now. And what happens when you create a tab on your website, those tabs are searchable on the internet. Mm-hmm. Your tabs are searchable. And so if you're an author and if being an author is what you do and you want to promote your books, you should have a tab for each book title. You should have a page on your website for each book title because the tabs of your website are searchable and that brings your book title up more often in the search engines across Google or whatever search engine. So there's a little tip or trick.
I haven't done that.
Yeah.
Good point.
I haven't either. Mine are all on one page. And so Kathy's author's page is the search. Well, who's going to type in Kathy's author's page? They're looking for a title of a book or a subject. And so that's how that can be more searchable is if you make a tab with that book title on it. So there's a little hint for those of you that are putting together your website. So anyway, this has been great to see where you can get that information. So please tap into kathybinner.com and look under the writers, authors and writers, and you'll find that course and you are welcome to check it out. You can go to our podcast or any place on the website and find all of our replays. You can go into the free meetups. And every time we do a free meetup, we put the free replay there as well. So you can find all of our replays if you want to go back through these videos as well. So today we're talking with Sandy. And Sandy, she is my co-host, my co-mod for this particular group. And Sandy is hosting a writer's workshop. She does it every year in August. But I'd like to get to know Sandy a little bit better. And Sandy, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in writing to begin with.
Hi there. Very pleased to be here. Thank you again, Kathy. I love these second Monday of the month in particular, because it's all about writing. It helps that, I was an English teacher in high school. So we analyzed a lot of books. We analyzed a lot of writers. How do they do it? How did Mary Shelley get Frankenstein to be such a hit way back when there was nothing like movies, television shows, and all that social media stuff? It was just what was put in a print and read by so many. But there are aspects of it. And as I always loved to read, one of those kids who, when I started at the library, we're only limited to 6 items per borrowing in a library card. So I'd borrow my mother's and get 12 books out. And then in 2 weeks, I was back again. So that's, of course, where it was started. I love storytelling. I went to bed a lot reading Alfred Hitchcock stories because they were nice, short, to the point, not as scary, but today, whoo, they've upped that price on horror and fright. Anyway, I found myself in high school with my teacher saying what a good writer I was. And you know, you got to pat a lot of teachers on the back, especially when they've done that, where they've encouraged their students who've shown a bit of an edge over some others that really have a knack for telling stories. And I was one of them. So, and in college, I did it all. I did journalism and I did romantic literature and modern literature. And then eventually went on to get a master's in North American women's fiction. So I encompassed it all, which made me read an awful lot, and I wrote enough papers to pave my street. So all that, and stumbled through it all. And I agree with Bradley of the fact, and there I was, you know, I'm a teacher. I can write, surely. And staring at that blank page to put together something that's going to entice somebody else, not necessarily writing my own Frankenstein, but something close to it. But it is those blurbs. How in the world do I get an 80,000 word story down in 50 words that'll make you pick it up and read it all? It is just amazing. And it's almost as if you have to take off your writer's hat and put a different hat on just to do those parts of it. So that all,
Andy, I get that. That's hard. How do you do that? I mean, how do you change your thinking to write that great description? Because again, when you're a writer, and it seems like as a writer, we get rewarded for the amount of words we can put on a page. And then all of a sudden you don't get rewarded when you're writing that book description for too many words. Now you need to make it, and it's tough. It's tough to write that and make it perfect. So, So that's a tough one. But what I noticed from your story so far is that you have always been a writer. Writers write. That's what writers do. And just you describing from such an early age of reading and writing, you have always been an actual writer. So kudos to you. Some of us bloom a little later in life. although I did write a lot when I was in school, and then, you know, life got in the way, and family and the kids and the jobs, and I just felt I didn't have time. And so I always told myself that when I retire, I was going to write. So I finally have made that full circle.
Well, you know, and here is, and if I could take up time here, just talking about the comparison of writing nonfiction, because I started out getting paid for my writing in nonfiction and fiction was later. And to me, in the world of, let's say, visual art, there are those who call them artists because they start with an empty canvas. And it isn't until they pick up their pastels or their paintbrushes or watercolors that they know what they're going to create. And then there are those like the famous illustrators of magazine covers. They're given an assignment. We want you to design a Thanksgiving scene for our magazine. They already know what they're doing before they, and then they interpret it as they do for their for the cover of the magazine or book or whatever it is. And that to me is the difference between nonfiction and fiction. I started out wanting to step away from a high school teaching resume or CV and do one that looks more like a professional writer's. And I was hired because of my nonfiction journalism background to write the autobiography of George W. Bush for a company that majored in nonfiction. And to me, and I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was easier than writing fiction because I had an outline. I had to follow chronological order. I had to do the research and pop in the correct details to tell this story of George W. Bush from, but much like we are talking about, that very first chapter, nevertheless, had to attract the reader. And it's more than just, ooh, I'm a fan of George W. Bush, so I'm going to like this. Not necessarily so. It probably wouldn't take more than a few sentences for you to say, nah, not for me. So that first chapter, of course, had to be the hook. And I remember vividly talking about, if you go way back to where it was Al Gore and George W. Bush, and it came down to the spin of a nickel or a quarter or something as to who was going to be president. I thought, whoa, there's my first chapter. It's going to hook them all right. And then, and this is the most horrible thing you can ever think of. And then I had turned the stuff in and I had to redo it because 9/11, September 11th happened, 2001. So of course, that particular event is the way that the story of George W. Bush should start. So everything, even as a creative writer, you're wearing these crazy hats like we're talking about, where, okay, I love this character. I have a dragon story. I have a dragon cop, where women are cops and they fly around on dragons. Long story, but there you go. And yet, it sounds interesting to me, but how do I create that first page? How do I create those first couple of words? Well, after George W. Bush, I was hired then to do Francisco Pizarro, and then I was taught another lesson, and that is this particular version of Pizarro. He's a Spanish explorer of South America, the Incas and all that. I was writing it for like elementary kids. It was more of a picture book as well as information. So what was I learning? Audience. Who is reading your story? Who is reading your book? And you have to craft that story to fit that audience. And I have folks who are writing young adult. That would be a different story than if you're writing for over 21 year olds and on and on and on. And so that's when I learned. And yes, as Bradley and you have said before, man, nothing like the actual having to write to really teach you how to do it and how to do it well. You get a lot of people willing to tell you if you're doing it right or wrong too.
So I get that.
Where I started.
Yeah. Now, for some of you that haven't actually started writing yet and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this just seems so confusing and I don't know where to start or how to start. When you're talking, and I want to circle back and talk a little bit about when you're talking about writing for a particular audience, oftentimes I discover that I'm writing for an earlier version of me. And so depending on whether, even if it's fiction or nonfiction, because even if you're writing fiction, I know what I love to read. And so when I write, I have a tendency to want to pick those same genres because that's what I love to read. So of course, doesn't everybody love to read what I love to read? Well, sure. Not necessarily, but because I read that genre so often and I know it better than some others, it seems like it's a little easier writing for me. So not only do I write what I like to read, but when I'm doing nonfiction, I have a tendency to write to an earlier version of me. If I'm doing any type of a inspirational book or a self-help book or a little ebook to talk about procedures or policies or something on any one of my lanes, I have a tendency to want to write the information that I was missing, that I wish I had. And then once I learn it, I realize, you know, if I needed this information, there's probably a lot of folks that need this information. And I know a couple of you on this call are writing memoirs. And so oftentimes, not only is that's one of the toughest writing projects, let me just say that. But when you're writing that, not only is it going to be for the earlier version of you, it's going to be for all those folks out there that are just like you or just like that earlier version of you, and you're going to be able to really help them, and it becomes a healing process for you. And so I know that's a tough one to write some of those, but again, there, yes. Your audience is already there. Yes.
And your audience is another key aspect of that. If you're writing your memoir just to share with your family, it's going to be different than if you want to put that memoir in a bookstore or on Amazon. And the audience is key. They want more of a narrative. They want something that kind of looks like fiction, but of course it's not fiction. So how do you put that narrative angle in memoir? And you're right. It's a tough, tough, tough thing to write about. But, and that's where you're talking about, you know, how do I find what the ABCs, or maybe I'm not that much of a beginner. Maybe I'm later on. And I see that, Bradley, do you have a question or a comment?
I see Bradley has his hand up. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get my hand and both hands.
Sorry. You're fine.
No, because I was just suddenly kind of inspired or realized something. I wrote my book 40 years ago, basically. It was about my time in the Peace Corps. I wrote it right when I came back. Basically, ooh. 72 hours, it was done. Think of Jack Kerouac writing On the Road.
Wow.
It was just nonstop typing. But I didn't do a one manuscript, it was individual sheets. But 35 years later, I added in some new stories and things and rewrote it and edited it and all. But the whole time, I couldn't really figure out, like, what am I writing it for? Why am I publishing it? And even after I published it, people were asking me kind of like, why did you write it? What was the purpose for it? And I had difficulty. I just said I wanted to get it out, which is what I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get that story out to certain people, and I did. But now I said I'm making a website, and I'm making like it's like a free online course I'm putting together, and it's going to highlight. This is thanks to Kathy's inspiration, by the way. It's going to highlight different aspects of my travels around the world. And right now I'm doing this section about when I was in the Peace Corps, and I have these lessons. And I'm realizing when I'm writing to students, I imagine they're my students. I teach high school English. I've been teaching
Hey,
English every grade level, ESL, every
Bradley,
kind of English.
you and Sandy have a
Yeah.
connection there.
I mean, I did most of my life overseas. I'm only recently in the US. But I've always designed my own instruction, my own, all my exercise. I never teach out of a book. It's just so difficult for me. I can't, I bristle. And I realized as I was doing this, as I was writing these lessons about my time in the Peace Corps, which is about my book, I'm trying to promote my book at the same time. I'm making so much more understanding. I'm putting meaning into all these events. I'm designing these lessons like to compare and contrast, or to see cause and effect, or to see to analyze things, or to evaluate things. And I'm teaching the students to write clearly and to think critically, and I'm using my examples, and suddenly, wow, it all makes sense to me why I wrote that book. And my next version is going to be very different.
Well, and
But
let me just
suddenly my voice came out through, I'm imagining my readers are my students, and that's apparently when I write the clearest and the most, this is where people are most engaged in my writing, when I write to that particular audience.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I want to say two things here. Number one, and for all of you that are on this call, is that action comes first and clarity comes second. And I know my students that are on this call have heard that 100 times, but you have to start. You have to start. So if you want to be a writer, you have to start. And it will become more clear, just like for Bradley, it becomes more clear the further you go down that path. So you have to start. The second thing I want to say is that your tribe will find you. Your tribe will find you. Bradley's tribe is going to find him. His students will find him as the teacher, and he'll be able to really make an impact. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, what we all want to do is make an impact on our world somehow. We want to make an impact somehow. We want to make what we're writing make a difference to our reader, to our audience, in some way, make a difference. And so your tribe is already out there and they'll find you.
And
I have a question. Yes, go ahead, Sandy.
yeah, no, go. Not a
I was going
problem.
to say there was a question in the chat. It said, how would your book description directions be different if you were writing a nonfiction book? Again, I think you have to have all the same points, all the same hooks that we talked about before. You're just writing nonfiction. You still have to, have the catchphrase, and you have to, be precise in your outline. So specifically a nonfiction book that is not a biography or autobiography, when it's more like a self-help or a book of methods or instructions. Again, I think you use the same outline that we talked about at the beginning of this call. And again, I can put a copy of it in the replay for you that we covered. But anyway, it's the same. Sandy, any thoughts on that?
Yes, no, you're right, Kathy, and Bradley has hit upon it as well, because you're selling yourself. It doesn't matter what you're putting out there, and as much as you can share with the public to put a personality to what you're doing, whether it's your website or your book blurb or something, but nonfiction as well, unless it's a real technical, like a WordPress for Dummies or something, that, and even then, just in the title
Yeah.
alone, there's personality. So think of it that way. Think as if put that personal spin on it and see how it feels. You can always cut something out if it's a little too personal or a little too familiar for how to, but spiritual how-tos or all those, oh my gosh, they require so much of you in there. Pick up a lot of them. Go to the library, if not a bookstore, and read them and see what people are doing. Or go on to Amazon. Who are the
Yes.
top book sellers and why are they? What are they doing in there, and what can you add to your work too? But all of that comes down to, well, so there I am. There I am in school. I'm getting ready to step away from the classroom so I have enough time to write, because 150 students, essay tests. Oh my gosh, I never had time for myself, except in the summer. And then I was usually going back to school. So I started to do that writing. And afterwards, I had a friend in 2018. I was the president of the teachers union. I negotiated contracts for teachers. I was a department chair, everything but the principal. And when a friend of mine said, hey, would you help me do a writer's workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio? I live right next door to it. So I said, sure, I'll do that. And the next year, so we pulled it off. I knew a lot of writers by then, because that's the other key is, you hear of writing critique groups, you hear of all sorts of things. If there's just two or three of you who could just get together and vent, shoot the breeze, talk about writing, get it out, because writing is solitary. It's just you and your keyboard or writing pad. At some point in time, you have to get out and just let it out. Yes, you can read and follow lots and lots of cool stuff online, but talk to a couple of writers and see how it's going with them. And that's where my friend, by that time, in about 7 years after I started George W. Bush and got that out there, I had joined a couple of writing groups and a writing communities and so forth. And so I knew writers to bring in who would be happy to do this place called Retreat to the Springs in 2018. Well, my friend just thought, nope, this isn't for me. About 2 weeks before the 2019. Uh-oh. So again, being a teacher, I'm used to things like snow days and power going out and all that jazz. I go, yeah, I could put 2019 together and pulled it off. And then she said, you do it. You want it, you do it. And you really don't know always why you say yes. But I said, yeah, I could do that. Because much like Kathy was saying, there has to be, how can I help other writers? And of course, in the long run, it's that where I'd rather do something for somebody else than myself. So I'll spend all day writing something for somebody's newsletter and then realize, how much time did I give to myself to write what I'm writing? But here I'm learning by creating what I call an oasis. So here for 3 days in August, I want to exhaust the people who attend. I want them to walk in the door on Friday and get every single thing they need to get back to their quiet little corner of the world where they're writing again. And when they see something online that they're reading, some how to improve your whatever in your writing, they go, I remember that. I remember that at Into the Spring. So I redesigned it in 2020, which of course didn't happen because of the pandemic. So in 2021, I redesigned it. I only wanted two or three featured guests for the whole weekend. And I require that those guests stay in the same space from Friday when we start till noon on Sunday when we end. So if any of the writers, and again, I'm looking at the one who never raises his or her their hand, or who has that question burning but is afraid to ask it because they don't know as much as somebody else sitting at their table. Well, maybe they'll do that if the featured authors are there the whole weekend. If somewhere maybe the question was burning on Friday at 6 p.m., but finally somewhere at 11 or noon on Saturday when we all have lunch together, maybe that's when they'll get up to the nerve enough to ask the question and feel confident enough to ask that. So those featured guests are there. We all share the same sessions, which again makes it challenging, because how do I have this person who really has a memoir burning in them, but there is somebody standing up there who's a mystery person, or I have Andrew Welsh Huggins is mystery, but he's also an AP journalist and has written about the Columbus, downtown Columbus politics for ages. So he knows nonfiction. So if you have that memoir question, you could probably ask him and he can direct you or know how to best answer that question. And I have Jeffrey Marks. He's the publisher at Crippen and Landrieu Publishing Company in Cincinnati. They're very distinct. Talk about a niche. They do short story mystery collections. So let's say you don't want to you want a break, or you don't want to tackle the big novel right now. So maybe you have this cool idea because you've got BritBox or PBS and you're watching a mystery and go, you know, I could take this character and I could have this happen. Man, that's shaping up like a mystery. So maybe that little tidbit, maybe not the whole cake. Maybe you just want to make a cupcake. So that's a short story, and you put all your cupcakes together. That's a short story collection. Well, what the heck do you do with that? Crippen and Landrieu, you have to propose, do a query letter for them, but they're the company that does that. And Jeffrey is all about, well, how do you do a query letter? He's got a session on that. And nonfiction book proposals, how do you do those? Mm-hmm. Because someone here was talking about nonfiction. That's a whole other ballgame. A query letter has to be 250 words of the best of the best of your whole novel to get an agent or an editor, if you're going traditional, to pick you up. A book proposal? Now, a memoir, the company, the publishing company knows they're going to get a memoir. You don't have to have the book done to sell it to a nonfiction company or agency. But you have to have a proposal so you can convince them this book is very possible and there will be the end. So if the company agency picks you up, they'll know they'll get a book from you in the end. But how do you put those together? Jeffrey knows, and he can best explain it. And if you have questions or confusions, again, they're there the whole weekend. They're in the room, or somebody sitting at the table can help you, because community is very important. This group here that Kathy organizes and runs is a part of that, and that is very important.
So Sandy, I just want to jump in and say, I had not gone to a writer's workshop early on. You know, I wrote a lot when I was in school. Then, of course, like I said before, life got in the way and the job and the kids and, you know. Yeah. And then finally, when I retired, I could circle back and I said, you know what? I always wanted to write. I'm going to start writing. And I did. But I didn't really know what to do with it. I didn't really know how to put together anything. I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. And one of the best things that I did for my writing career, and now I have two bestsellers on Amazon. I have several eBooks. I have the whole academy that I've written all of the modules for, and so I've really come a long way just in the 7 years since I've retired from you know the corporate day job. But the one thing that really put me over most of my insecurities was attending a couple of writers' workshops and rubbing elbows with those professional writers and seeing the other writers in the room and listening, just listening to everything that happens at a writer's workshop. You can learn so much just seeing how other folks are putting stories together. Bradley and I met at a writer's workshop in Columbus. And again, I learned so much from that workshop, just being there. So I encourage all of you, if you have not been to a writer's workshop, to find one close to where you are. I don't know where everybody lives, but put in the chat where you're coming to us from, and we can maybe even help you find a writer's workshop close to you if you're not close to us. But definitely attend a writer's workshop. You will not regret that you spent that time or the funds. And some of them are free. And some of them are very, very affordable. Sandy's is very affordable. Oh, Linda's in Fredericktown. You're close enough to go to Sandy's. Elise is in Columbus. You're close enough to go to Sandy's. Leslie is Columbus. Georgia, yes. There are some in Columbus, Ohio, yes. I met Bradley at one in Columbus. It was called Bluestone. Am I right, Bradley? Bluestone was that one. But Yellow Springs is not that far. It's a beautiful place. It's a great workshop, and it's small. You don't get lost in the crowd. You feel like you can really ask your questions there. And I think that's probably the thing that I like most about Sandy's, is that it's small enough that you don't feel intimidated to ask those those questions. And everyone that she's had, they are so helpful. They want you to be a success. They want you to be a good writer. They want to share everything that they have learned to help you take that next best step for your writing. So anyway, so that's my plug. Back to you, Sandy.
No. And that was what started after I got out of teaching. It's like, well, what kind of writing do I really want to do? You know, there are those people whose bucket lists are, I know a gal, she wants to do 100 countries. She's close to it by now. Me, I went on the road. I took a women's fiction workshop in Louisville, Kentucky. I took a romance. I go, well, maybe I'm a romance writer. I took a romance writer's workshop in Chicago and the Midwest. Ball State in Muncie, Indiana, has a Midwest writer's workshop. And I started to learn more about genre commercial fiction. And of course, in Yellow Springs for many years, there was an Antioch writer's workshop. And that is, it was very literary fiction based. So explore. And what's nice is you have the internet. If you want to pick up a lot of these, a lot of workshops in Cleveland, I know, have just a Zoom version too. So that's that.
Let's talk about the Zoom version. There's I'm involved in the Cincinnati Fiction Writers. And Sandy, are you in that group, the Cincinnati Fiction Writers?
I follow them on Facebook. So yeah.
Okay. Cincinnati Fiction Writers, they do a once a month in-person meet and greet, but they don't really talk about, I mean, they talk about writing, but they're not critiquing anything. They're, you know, but they do have this meet and greet in the Cincinnati area. But then once a month online on Zoom, they do a critique. And I love it. I have learned so much and I just listen in the audience. I've never submitted my manuscript, but they take two submissions a month. You can submit your manuscript and they have a reader and somebody will volunteer to read so many chapters or so many pages of your manuscript. And then the entire group can critique the writing. And I have learned so, and they do it in such a positive way. And I don't know about you, Sandy, but I love it when writers are supporting writers and everyone is just so generous with their comments and their critique. And they just, and they want to uplift the writer. And especially if it's a new writer or if it's somebody that's struggling a little bit to really find their style of writing. And so check it out. And again, it's on meetup.com is the their that's where they advertise. And it's Cincinnati Fiction Writers. And you'll see their event there. And if you click in there, they'll give you get the Zoom code and you can join. It's on a Monday night. So it's a perfect time of the week. Usually Monday nights are kind of open for everybody. And just listen in a few times.
And with my workshop, it depends on what type of authors I have, because I want those featured guests to mesh. And thank goodness, every year I've been blessed to have that happen. And there, if you have a query letter and you want to have it critiqued just one-on-one with Jeffrey Marks, that's possible. It's $50, but they will sit with you for up to 15 minutes after some time outside of sessions and talk to you about it. So some folks work more with kind of a tutoring sort of session, as Bradley would probably know from his experiences in the Peace Corps and in teaching. And it's the same. Andrew Welsh Huggins will look at your first critique, your up to your first 10 pages of your book, and write an in-text critique and then sit with you for up to 15 minutes outside of sessions and chat with you. And that deadline is coming up next Wednesday, July 17th. About a week from this week, July 17th. So I keep
Andy, that's huge.
In which I'm looking at personalities of writers. I'm thinking about what level they're on, how experienced, how inexperienced they are. I have the Ohio audiobook. If there's a lot of noise and I'm turning green, it's because my neighbor is getting an in-ground pool put in. So, there's a lot of dump trucks and things like
that. We don't hear it at all on our end.
Right, right. Who, me? I could turn on my shower, I guess, but they've got a pool coming in. Anyway, so the Ohio audiobook narrators. Now, audiobooks, man, a gold mine. Mm-hmm. When I ask them if they would come, they go, sure. So they're going to do a 3-hour presentation and talk about what they do. If you hire them to narrate your book, what kind of a process is that? And if you want to narrate it yourself, what do you need? They'll be able to explain it to you. And if you're hiring a writing, an audio company of some kind, how do you know if this is a good mm-hmm. contract or not a contract that's a little shady? They'll tell you that. And artificial intelligence. And someone we were talking about, how do you melt down an 80,000 word book for just a little blurb? Some folks put it into an AI form and then the mm-hmm. AI spits it out and you get to look at it. Because we were talking about what kind of a hat. Well, it's not your hat in a sense at all. They're taking your things and then you could read saying, oh, that works, that doesn't work. Well, the Ohio audio folks, they will talk about how AI has affected their business. And they're very optimistic. It's not that. But the last hour is they're going to ask folks to give them about a minute or two of their story, and they will take it and show you their approach. What do they do? How do they make your characters come to life? Because mind you, unless you have lots of money, you have one character. I was listening to a book called Tom Lake by Ann Patchett, read by Meryl Streep. And then there was another book, I read the book, but I listened to it first going, well, what does she sound like? You know, Tom Hanks has narrated another story. I forget the name of it now. But how do they capture all those characters in one voice? And it's an art form. It truly
is. It is an art form. Yes. And I have my favorites. I have my favorites. And sometimes when I go on to, what's the audio where you get audiobooks? What's it called? Audible. Sometimes when I go on to Audible, I actually search for the narration first and the author second.
Yeah. Audiobooks is a very, very successful way to publish your book. Not everyone needs a hard copy, though that's still popular. We like to touch, we like to autograph, that sort of thing. But maybe audio is the way to go. I know there are a lot of public libraries who now have what in our library is called a whisper room. And it is a self-encased room. Okay, it's the size of a small outhouse, but still, you can go in there and you can do a podcast. You could do an audio book. And the Ohio audiobook narrators will help you through that. So I'm always coming up with, well, what else can I do? Besides, because of course there's a price tag in it. So I'm thinking, I am going to give you your money's worth. And mm-hmm. every minute I'm going to do something with writing. We start at 9, from 7 to 8. You want to come in and do a creative writing thing. God bless you, because that's pretty early. But I make sure the hotel has the hot drinks and cold mm-hmm. drinks and beverage station ready at 6:45, just in case. And there are last year I had 55 people come. This year the numbers will be smaller, about 30. But I'll always get about 10 people who, mm-hmm. here they are, first thing in the morning. And then they have an hour break and then we start at 9. So there's that. And on Saturday night, if you have a book to sell, this is a first. The banquet room has those big round tables that about 8 people sit at. I can divide them in 2, and I can get 2 people selling their books, but one book at a time. I think this year I'll probably be surprised, and you could be nice and have space for all of them, but we're going to start off small with just one book. And I'm inviting the Yellow Springs community and beyond to come in and browse and buy. And then after that, that's for like 7 to 9 on Saturday, with a cash bar and snacks on the table. It's open mic reading night. And that's
my favorite. My favorite.
Thank you. So that's when you get to get up and read your story. I stretched it to 7 minutes. I think we probably, because we're a smaller group, I can get some more, a little lengthier. It's one thing to tell poets to read their poem for about 7 minutes, piece of cake. But you tell a short story or novel writer, you've got 7 minutes. It's like, say what? No. So anyway, we're going to see how 7 minutes handles it. I do have two professional actors who have come in the past and are willing to do some reading for you. Now, while we've been on, I just had a little note that I didn't finish reading, that those actors are giving me apologies. We'll figure something out. Apparently, there are fireworks that night. I don't know. In Yellow Springs, you just never know. But there'll be plenty of fireworks at the workshop as well, in our own little writerly way. But the hotel loves us there. I hope you go. So it ends about 11 o'clock on Saturday. But if you want to, again, cash bar, snacks, the non-alcoholic beverages are free there in the beverage station. And then we wrap things up Sunday morning until about noon, and we put it all together. I've had folks form writing groups that are off of that. I've had a lot of folks who have signed up or advertised their newsletters and on and on and on. And I have 2025 already wrapped up. I think it's going to be really, really fascinating. And of course, for all you memoir writers, I'm keeping that in mind, because I thought, yes, I know there's memoir. But again, if I bring memoir writers in, one, they need to be able to talk to people. It's one thing to be a very, very good writer, but can you talk to people about writing? And memoirists usually can cover some other angles as well. And we can all learn from a good couple of presentations by memoir writers. So that's what I do. I put it all together and cross my fingers, because you just never know until people start signing up. And what's nice is I've garnered some fans. They come back every year. So that's nice too. It's a tip of the hat. And none of it is for me to buy a new car. The price tag is at what I have coming in. The price tag pays for somebody for everything I need for the coming year, or hope to have for the coming year. So it just keeps balancing like the chain of life. It does. And if somebody really, really is serious, and check online at www.intothespringswritersworkshop.com. And if that price tag, it's $299.99, if that's wee high, let me know. I had a raffle basket last year, and my attendees were able to buy enough raffle tickets to put somebody in who just simply can't afford it. And I know I taught a lot of folks. I've had an 18-year-old come because she wanted to know, and that price tag was high. And I knew somebody in before I had raffle baskets who was willing to pay for her registration. So almost anything is possible. Somehow to make the work that comes with writing just a little more pleasant, and not necessarily easier, but at least pleasant. So you can go back to your desk on August 5th and hit it a little harder and with a more optimistic, I guess.
Sandy, I should talk with you about maybe doing a scholarship for the Writer's Workshop for somebody. I hadn't thought of that before. That just kind of jumped into my head as you were chatting. And I thought, I need to do that through the academy and give away a scholarship for the tuition. So we need to chat about that for future.
That would be lovely. I've asked a couple of groups if they know of someone, and the response, they've checked around. I haven't gotten a response, and I know they're out there. So yes, by all means, please do.
Yeah, I have a giving page on my website, and I encourage everyone to do that as well, because you cannot outgive. Whatever you put out there comes back tenfold or more. And so I encourage everybody to create a giving somewhere in your business or in your writing. And so this is how I get to give, is I take any of my membership money that comes in, and I give it back out in scholarships. to things that I believe in, and I believe in the Writers Workshop. So Yellow Springs has been voted the number one city in Ohio to visit. So please, there's a second piece to this, and I want to mention this in front of Sandy, is not only is there a fee to go to the Writers Workshop, but then of course you've got the cost of the hotel to stay over. You do not have to actually stay at the same hotel. So for those of you that are budget shoppers, there are other hotels that are close enough that you can stay for a fraction of the cost and still participate in the entire Writers Workshop. So don't think that you have to stay there to go to the workshop. Now, it's fun for any of you that have gone to any seminars or workshops. It's always nice to be close because the real relationships happen after hours. You know, you meet somebody and you're just not done talking to them yet. That's how Bradley and I met. We just weren't done talking, were we, Bradley? And so a lot of those relationships happen after the workshop is over. And so that's why it's kind of fun to actually be on site, but you can still stay close enough by, and there's some Airbnbs in the town. So there is other options of staying over and still attending the workshop. So just keep that in mind. It is a great little city though. So we love that. Sandy, I have a question, and I know we're coming up at the top of the hour, but I have a question for the book sales. Number one, is there a cost? If somebody has a book that they want to sell that evening, is there a cost for the table?
No, no. If you are registered, you are registered person with Into the Springs, it's yours now.
Okay. And the second is, how many books should one bring? I don't know how to measure that. And I don't have a big influx of my books, but I do have some copies. And I didn't know if I should bring those. And if so, how many copies? Just as a rule of thumb.
You know, I will find that out because that's a good question. I was at a book fair last Saturday, and book fairs are tough because not everybody is, you know, wanting to spend their time. To me, it's a dream day, but walking around books, and I'm looking at how many bags are going out the door. And I find, interestingly enough, it's usually the relatives of the people selling mm-hmm. books, or if they know you well. Mm-hmm. I've got you for 2 hours. How many people are going to, if you have about 30, half of them are selling their books, somewhere between 5 and 10, you know. Okay. Last week, one of my featured authors was Jane Friedman, and she let, rather than her sell it, there are people who don't want to sell their own stuff. I have the Epic Bookshop there, and if you let them know ahead of time, they will be happy to sell your books for you. Which means they usually get about 20% or something of okay. the sales. And it's on my website. Gail, who owns it, is willing to offer a discount on that. And okay. I have a couple folks who will just say, Gail, could you handle? And we ran out of James' books. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I that's a good one. Matter of okay. fact, I will take notes to be honest with you. But I'd say five is a good number, optimistically 10.
Okay. Sure. And I have that many without having to put an order in. And okay. and for those of you that are on Amazon, you can get an author's copy. That's the correct term. You can get author's copies of your works for a lot less that you can then have the physical book that you can then sell at a place such as this Writer's Workshop. And so if you have something already on Amazon, you can order some author's copies for yourself at a much reduced cost. But it does take a minute for those to get in. And that's why I didn't know, but I have some already. I try to always keep about 20 or 30 books on hand. And so I'll maybe throw maybe 10 of each, because I've got two different books. I'll throw maybe 10 of each in my car and bring them with me. So we'll see how that works. But any questions for Sandy about her journey, any just general writing questions, or any questions about the workshop? And just, you can unmute. Any comments for Sandy? You can just unmute.
No questions. I just definitely wanted to say thank you so much, Sandy, and thank you for the great conversation. It's really easy to, as a new author, as a person trying to get into that field to get overwhelmed. And I think that it's super important to hear that we're all just trying to, again, find community, find the people who can help us. And it's super amazing that you're making it possible. And Yellow Springs is such a beautiful place. So to be able to do that and be around people who know exactly what they're talking about, way to build a community. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much. You know, and it is, you know, we talk about people critiquing your work. It's tough because even if it's about Martians, it's your heart and soul on that page.
Right.
It's you who've spent all that time and is like, oh, you want to say you're brave enough to face the rejections, but that's where you need a community just to say, well, look what happened to me. And somebody else has gone through it as well. So at least they'll be able to.
I think that's important. Yeah, I think that's important, Sandy, that folks understand that in today's society, and I think it's because we've got all of this internet and all of the social media, it's so easy for people to be mean and hide behind the social media and say things that maybe otherwise wouldn't have happened years ago. And it is tough. You know, you put your heart on your sleeve out there when you're writing, and you do get your feelings hurt sometimes when somebody makes a comment against what you've said or the way you've said it or whatever they might say. Mm-hmm. So I think community is important because we realize that that writing is such a personal thing. It's such a one-on-one personal thing. And I get that. So at least great point there about having community. Yes. I love that. Any other comments or questions for Sandy?
I just was encouraged to see or hear that you're a former teacher as well, and that you've been a successful writer. So thanks for sharing your story.
You're welcome. I thought it was going to be easy. And then it's like, what do I do? Wait a minute. I have to write this.
Oh, yeah. Right. I've been telling students this for years and now it's like, oh.
Yeah. So like, okay, let me write a curriculum. I could write that essay. I could write a research paper like nobody's business. But oh man, creative writing. Oof. So
Aline says, thanks for the information. She put that in the chat for everyone.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you also.
Thanks.
I want to keep it light. I enjoy writing because I enjoy it. Uh-huh. Early liked when you talked about the purpose of why you write, because sometimes I think, what am I doing this for? And then I write now, I just share it with my family and we laugh. But yeah. It'd be fun to take it to the next step and see what somebody else thinks. So,
well, and Linda, if you get the opportunity to go to a writer's workshop, no matter where did you say you were in the Columbus area?
I'm in Fredericktown. I'm not too far from Yellow Springs. Ohio's pretty small. I'm from Ohio, but I've traveled a lot. And actually, I looked into Yellow Springs. I would be interested in the scholarship if it's ever available.
Okay.
You know, it's
well. And Sandy said to get in touch with her. She might have something available now.
Yeah. Okay. Is it possible this year? It's coming up soon, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. But yes, email me, Sandy at Into the Springs, INTOTHE. Why did I pick such a long name? I don't know. But Into the Springs Writers Workshop.com or look for Into the Springs Writers Workshop online and have lots of information. So check that out first.
And they can contact you through the website as well, the Into the Springs Writers Workshop.com. You can click the contact in there and connect with Sandy.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just keep reaching out. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you. I'm glad you
and asked. Linda, there are some writers workshops in the Columbus area, which is a little closer for you to get to from Fredericktown, but there are several local ones. Bradley and I met at the Bluestone, which is a Columbus based writers group.
Okay, I wrote that. I took notes. Yeah, I wrote
okay.
That down. Yeah, I'm just going to keep plugging away and having fun. I also teach, so I'm still working, but enjoy dabbling on this. There, it's my therapy. So, thank you.
That's excellent.
I love it.
And continued good success with what you're doing. That's impressive.
Yes, and thank you for being with us today. Anyone else?
I'll just add, this is Leslie, I'll just add Thank you very much for the information. And I wondered, for the workshop, is there an opportunity to attend any of the breakouts remotely?
No, that's one thing I don't have. I am president of the Central Ohio Fiction Writers, which is kind of a romance-enriched group, and we rotate our meetings from a library in Dayton area next month, a library in Columbus, and back and forth, and we do Zoom. And let me tell you, juggling, I don't know how Kathy does it, but, you know, here I've got live people in the room, and I'm running the Zoom, and I thought, no, and I understand. I think there's a great workshop up in Cleveland, GLAAWC or something of that sort. And one of my favorite mystery writers is Walter Mosley, and he was a featured guest via Zoom. So I zoomed right in, but no, I don't have that capability. Thank you for asking, though. I'll keep it in mind. Some techie person might show up one day and say, hey, I'd love to. You just never know. But thank
well,
you.
Well, and Sandy, you could put that out there to the membership of the Writers Workshop. There could be someone that's just right up their alley, that they wouldn't mind just putting a Facebook Live on it or something, you know, that could, but you'd still have to have some sort of a gateway because there's a fee to the workshop. So I don't know exactly how all the details work because I'm not a techie, but yes, we know it can be done. And so, yeah, maybe if you put it out there that you're looking for someone to do that in the future.
Maybe in the future. That's mm-hmm. possible.
Yeah. Great point. Leslie, thank you for that suggestion and for that question. Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Let's see. Seems like there was a... Elise, I actually do Zoom call moderations mm-hmm. and would be willing to trade to attend. There you go, Sandy. Yeah. There's a door that you might want to investigate. So Elise, she is a virtual assistant and she works for a lot of the folks that are on some of my calls. So we know Elise personally, and she does Zoom call moderations. So she said she would be willing to trade her expertise for attending the workshop.
I will keep that in mind.
Yeah. So Elise, you can connect with Sandy there and see if that's something that's an option. I don't know that Sandy could add it this late on this particular year.
It probably won't be an option for the next 2 years, and we'll see. But I know where I can go when it's coming down to that. I'll start with Kathy. I says, all right, your mm-hmm. personal assistant. Who?
Yes.
I won't forget you.
And I get it. I'm huge at a lot of the virtual stuff, just like this call here, because it's so much more convenient than traveling somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it would just totally open up your audience to a much bigger audience. Even if it's a different fee, it would open up a much bigger audience for you. Yeah. But it is. It's something else to add when your plate is already full. And I get that. Sometimes you're just like, I got to stop.
Well, and there's a cultivation of people in a room. The one thing I can't create, I have to create things in which the information is given. But somewhere in there, the community is building itself. Somewhere right. I've got the right people in the right space. And that magic can happen. If it might be just the people who end up, who knows, sitting around the same table, or they were all mm-hmm. in one particular activity. Because I do have another plus. I have Andrew Welsh Huggins, the mystery writer from Columbus. He's going to give a guided writing activity. So it's almost like, oh, good, he's going to be the teacher and show you through mm-hmm. those steps. And both of them, Jeffrey and Andrew, are going to talk about how do you get a short story idea and take it all the way to publication. To be able to see that arc is going to also be a valuable thing. So, and to take questions and all that. Right now, I'm kind of very old fashioned. To me, this is better than any English mm-hmm. classroom, because these people want to be there and they enjoy reading and writing as much as I do. And so right now that I'm an in the flesh kind of person right now, but that there may come another 2020, God bless us. I hope not, but that I will probably consider that.
Well, and I have a comment to add to that as well. one of the things that I realized when I started attending writers' workshops is that a lot of writers are more, and I don't know what's the cause and effect here. I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but a lot of the writers that I have met are somewhat introverted and shy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they would feel to bare their soul, so to speak, in a small group seems more mm-hmm. comfortable than knowing there's a camera on them over here and they don't know who all is yeah. watching when they, you know, it. So my table last year at Yellow Springs was a little bit of an introverted table. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
One of my assistants, Tara, she does the early morning creative writing things. That's why I keep her around, because she is an extrovert. And it's like, whoa, man. Okay, cool. Good for you. So you got to have, it's nice to have a nice counterpart. So.
Yes, I get that. Well, this has been great. Any other comments or last minute comments or questions for Sandy before we go? I just want to say thank you so much for being with us, Sandy. I love hearing about your journey, how you have acquired your writing talent over the years. And now this whole writer's workshop is just amazing. I can't wait. I put it on my calendar last year. I put it on my calendar before I ever left the workshop, so I would be sure and sign up. And I really appreciate you. So thank you so much for being on. And I want to thank everybody else for being with us. Put us on your calendar. We're here every month on Monday at 12 noon. And we're going to through all of those topics that I have in the course. And then we'll have a different guest that we'll be interviewing every single month. So you always get to see a little bit of a different side of every writer. And that's the part that I like the best, because in writing, you can monetize so many different ways in writing, everything from blogging to courses to novels to just teaching. I mean, there's just so many ways that you can monetize your writing. And so I just encourage everybody to just take that next step for you, whatever it is that's working inside of you that you're thinking, oh, this is my passion. This is what I really want to write about. This is how I want it to look. And just start, because you'll get more clarity after you start. You can sit on that your whole life and never pull the trigger and then regret that you didn't. So just get started. And if you have any questions, get in touch with me, get in touch with Sandy. If we don't know the answer, because we certainly don't know all the answers, but we can help direct you to somebody who does.
Sure, we can. Definitely. So, I'm on Facebook. So if you put Into the Springs on Facebook or Sandy Kachurik, I know it's a odd spelling, but Sandy Kachurik in there, I'll pop up. We'll find each other.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I want to say thanks to everybody one more time, and we will see everyone next month.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.